Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, the true story of a woman whose husband had all the signs of having a stroke. Although losing his ability to speak, he was able to pray the Our Father and the Hail Mary with his wife. Stay tuned for our story, plus the three signs to look for if someone you know is having a stroke, on another Stories from the Heart. Saturday night, supper time, we had said grace, and my husband of 45 years was pouring the wine when I asked him a question. No response. So I repeated it. Still no answer. Not unusual, this. He is hearing impaired, and so I frequently have to repeat things. I suggested he get his newest hearing aid, which he did, and then repeated my question. Silence. Looking sharply at my husband, I suddenly realized that he was trying to speak. Concerned, I asked if he were feeling okay, to which he nodded a vigorous affirmative. But clearly something was wrong. While I worried over his silence and continued to question him, he attacked the grilled fish with his usual hearty appetite. His only concern was that I wasn't doing likewise. He gestured to me to eat. I said I thought he needed a doctor and I was going to call 911. He shook his head at that and again indicated that I should eat. But, thoroughly alarmed, I dialed 911. The word stroke was beginning to form in my mind. I vaguely remembered some of the standard tests I'd heard of for determining whether a person might be suffering from one, such as getting a person to smile, to raise his arms, and to respond to a question. But I wasn't about to waste precious moments on any of those tests. Stroke was all I could think now, and get help screamed in my mind. The 911 call was answered promptly, reassuring me that an ambulance was on its way, and proceeded to pepper me with questions. Was my husband conscious? Was he breathing? What is he doing right now? Eating a supper, I replied. Take it away, said the voice on the line. You don't want him to choke. While I was answering questions, the fire truck arrived, and suddenly our dining room was awash with earnest young paramedics. They ordered the patient to remain calm, stuck an oxygen mask on his face, and asked me what had happened. 20 questions later, the ambulance crew turned up, and there were more young medics asking more questions. Our next-door neighbors wandered in to see what was going on. A stretcher appeared. My speechless spouse was strapped onto it and whisked away. I leapt into the car and raced off in hot pursuit. My heart was thudding wildly, and my stomach had tied itself in a knot. Nobody had told me to remain calm. The one thought in my mind was not to let the ambulance out of my sight. I could see my husband sitting in the back wearing his oxygen mask and still presumably being calm. I was far from calm. I couldn't think. I couldn't even pray. I kept trying, but in my mind, I never managed to get further than, "Oh God." In the emergency room, a nurse came in, followed shortly after by a young doctor who asked the same 20 questions. They took blood, gave injections, set up an IV, and attached the patient to a monitor which gave readings in red, blue, and green. Another doctor walked in. After the standard questions, he began to tell us things. He spoke slowly, making sure that both of us understood him. He explained that my husband had had a stroke. The area of the brain controlled speech had been affected. He couldn't say when or to what degree speech might return. He was not even sure that it would. The nurse came back and said my husband would be admitted to a room upstairs when one became available. Until then, he would have to remain in emergency. She brought me a chair and, bless her, a cup of tea. Then she disappeared, and we were left alone. My heart was still pounding, but not so violently now. I suggested to my husband that he try to sleep. Apparently, he thought I needed some sleep. He gestured for me to put my head down on the stretcher beside him. Then he had another thought. He joined his hands and indicated that I should pray. Pray? Hadn't I been trying all this time and never getting further than, "Oh God"? But I was calmer now. "Our Father who art in heaven," I began, and to my amazement, his voice joined mine. A feeble voice, but it was unmistakably the Our Father. And this was followed by an equally feeble Hail Mary. After that, while I continued to pray, my husband went back to being totally speechless. I gave him pencil and paper, but all he could produce were senseless hieroglyphics. Around 2 a.m., the night nurse came back and took us up to a room. I spent the rest of the night on a hard chair, wondering what it was my husband had wanted to say and couldn't. 24 hours later, speech started to return. Just an occasional word at first, sometimes half a word, spoken with enormous effort. Then, short pieces of sentences followed, with many words missing. 4 days later, and dozens of tests, still partially wordless, the patient was sent home. Meanwhile, I had called my children, one in Toronto, one in Vancouver, one in Newfoundland, and one in Switzerland. With the exception of the Swiss one, who phoned constantly over the next few days, they all came to be with us in our time of need. I felt so blessed to have them there. 6 weeks later, more or less, back to normal, other than the need for frequent blood tests to control coagulant levels, we can look back on that nightmare night with some degree of calmness and a great deal of thankfulness. There's been much to give thanks for my nursing background, albeit 45 years out of date, which helped me recognize a problem and summon help, for the speedy arrival and efficiency of paramedics and prompt treatment in hospital, for the numerous phone calls, cards, visits, and above all, prayers that were offered by so many friends, for our children who simply dropped whatever they were doing to be with us, thoughtfully arranged for their visits to overlap so that we would not be left alone when we needed their support, for the miracle of my husband's praying the Our Father and Hail Mary when he'd been absolutely speechless before and went back to being speechless afterwards, and for his apparently total recovery. Most of all, for the fact that although there's never a good time to have a stroke, the timing could have been so much worse. Not long before visiting our daughter in Switzerland, we'd done a lot of mountain driving, sometimes negotiating hairpin bends on dense fog. What if it had happened there? And only the day before, we'd been coping with heavy highway traffic en route to Toronto. A stroke at the wheel then would have been catastrophic. Happening at home as it did meant I was able to get immediate help, which made all the difference. Stroke. For so many, so devastating. But with prompt intervention, so much can be done to aid recovery. Recognition of the symptoms is all important. If you suspect that someone may be having a stroke, there are three simple ways you can check. 1. Ask the person to smile. 2. Ask him to raise his arms above his head. 3. Ask him to repeat a simple sentence. A lopsided smile, an inability to raise one or both arms, an inability to respond to a question. Any of these may be indicators of a stroke. Don't delay. Call 911. And call on God, too, even if all you can manage is to say, "Oh, God." Throughout the Gospels, St. Joseph remains silent, but his actions speak louder than words. He lives his life in service to Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary, in perfect conformity to the will of God. Therefore, it is appropriate that we ask St. Joseph to pray for us, so that we too may live the lives that God wills us to live. Conformity to the will of God. Great St. Joseph, to whose will the Savior subjected himself, obtain for me the grace to subject myself in all things to the will of God. Through the merits you obtain when in the darkness of night you obey the angel's commands, ask me for this grace, that nothing may detain me from fulfilling the will of God with perfect conformity. In the stable of Bethlehem, on the flight to Egypt, you recommended yourself and those dear to you to divine providence. Ask for me the same grace to conform myself to the will of God. In discouragement and despondency, in health and sickness, in happiness and misfortune, in success and failure, so that nothing may disturb the tranquility of my soul in obediently following the way of God for me. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's true story was written by Angela Sultana and published in Canadian Messenger of the Sacred Heart. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.